right?
Do it to it.
All righty. Okay, Rodrigo, would you like to welcome everybody?
Bom dia a todos. É um prazer estar aqui com vocês. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
All right. Obrigado, Rodrigo. That is the voice of one of the bootcamp contributors that we will be hosting down in Sao Paulo in June 24th and 25th. Is that right, Rodrigo?
Yes, that's right.
Can part of what we're doing here is we're inviting people from the community that aren't necessarily a regular participant on TSC meetings to help cross-pollinate what goes on in the community with the TSC and vice versa. So Rodrigo will be volunteering at the boot camp, and maybe you could give the audience a feeling for what you and your colleagues do with Hyperledger, irrespective of the boot camp.
Thank you, Dan. Yes, we're very excited to have here in Brazil, the first ever boot camp in our region, in Latin America and South America. Right now, we're going through the marketing campaign. We want to gather as many people as we can to join us in Sao Paulo, so we can reach out for as many new contributors as we can. So the community is growing. Since UPQD joined the project at the end of 2018, we've seen lots of newcomers coming to talk to us and learn a little bit more about Hyperledger and how they can work with us and how can they help develop the ecosystem in our region. So we are very glad to when we heard that Sao Paulo was going to host the next bootcamp, we're glad to help you guys and help the community grow here.
Excellent. Thank you for taking some time to help welcome everybody to the meeting today. And do you have a handle on Rocket Chat if anybody wants to connect with you there?
Yes, it's Rod. Very easy, R-O-D.
Pretty easy. All right. Well, thanks again, Rod.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Rod before we move along? Okay. You know how to find him if you would like to, and I hope everybody gets involved to the extent that they can for the boot camp. You'll see that that is updated on the announcements to reach out to Salona if you have questions, comments, offers to support that. Rai, would you like to update everybody on the two-factor authentication requirements?
Sure. So I went through and reached out. This number is incorrect. We're down to three people that have write access to the GitHub org without two-factor auth. So thank you to everybody who's been turning on their two-factor auth for GitHub. And that's where we are. We have three people left.
Okay, and great.
Those people have not, those three people have not made commits for the last calendar year. So they're inactive, essentially.
Do we know their email addresses? Can we email them directly or how?
So two of them, so number one, I reached out to the two of them on Rocket Chat because I was able to find their handles, and mm-hmm. I sent email to one of them who I was able to get his email address. The other one I reached out to on LinkedIn, and he doesn't have an LFID. So, and I feel like I've done what I can. That's what I've done.
No, I mean, then why don't we just pull the trigger then if there's only three and you've done your best effort to reach out to them?
I would like
to. Well, is it within our protocol that you could distribute those individuals to TSC so that if we personally know those individuals, we could do that? Otherwise, you know, just go ahead and do just like what Chris said.
I mean, there's nothing that keeps them from rejoining, right? And setting two-factor. I mean, that's our policy.
If they set two-factor auth, they can come in the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the same time, if all the main contributors already, you know, already have 2FA enabled, the exposure is very minimal. So
that's true.
Yeah, these guys haven't contributed in a year.
Yep. So I know I'm on some threads about this. I don't recall. Do we already have a thread to the TSC list that says this is going to happen?
Yes.
Okay. And did you give a timeline in that at all, Rye?
Soon.
Yeah, okay. I think we might want to give it another week or so and tell people this is when we're going to do it. Be ready.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. And you had asked a good question earlier, Arno, which was why doesn't this apply to people who use Garrett? It will soon. And all I can say is soon. I don't have a date. So at some point soon, two-factor auth will be required to use LFID.
If you put a TM after the soon, then it's okay.
Well, I just hear the air quotes, soon.
So what you're saying there then, Rye, is that LFIT is going to enable two-factor auth on your LFID. Is that correct?
Correct. At some point in the future, soon.
Okay. So, and that's out of your control.
It is. When we switch authentication providers, you won't see the old screen anymore.
Okay.
You'll see a new screen.
Fair enough. So, I mean, then maybe can we just take a vote and say, let's do it in a week or something? Give them one last warning and.
Yep.
I make okay, a proposal. We do it soon.
Okay, I would like to move that the TSC vote that we enable two-factor auth at the conclusion of the TSC meeting next week.
Two-factor auth for
I'll second that.
This is specifically for GitHub, and the LFID thing is separate, and that will...
Right, so this is specifically for the Hyperledger organization. Hyperledger Labs will come to later. That's another question. So,
do we have quorum, by the way?
Yeah, the only people we're missing are Nathan and Silas. Oh, there's Silas is here.
Yeah, I was late, sorry.
Okay.
All right, so I think Rye moved and I seconded.
Great. All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
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 Aye. Any TSC members opposed? TSC members abstaining? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for doing all that, Rye. Just for everybody's benefit in the future, when we want to have a voting motion, it's much better if we have that written. This one is kind of trivial, so I'm not worried about it, but it's nice to have explicitly in writing what people are voting. So if we're going to go to the trouble of doing a vote, let's make sure that we've got some explicit text.
Sure. For the next item, Salona is in the air. And I think we already kind of covered that the boot camp is coming up.
Yep.
So let's move on to RFC.
All righty. So again, we've got the governing board is looking at 2020 direction, and they want input from the technical community. And so that's what I'm working to channel to them. There is a link there to the wiki. It's pretty broad, the kind of feedback that we're looking for, but do put some thought into the rationale. That will help us understand it when we try to upstream that to the board. And it looks like we also have a heads up that there is a U.S. holiday on the 4th of July that I think a lot of the participants will be out for. And that brings us up to the first discussion topic, the greenhouse graphic, which Brian circulated on the list. Brian, would you like to speak about that?
Yeah, and don't have to repeat what I said on the list. I just try to set a context for it, which is, you know, the most important thing we're trying to solve for is the fact that the existing graphic, you know, to which we've been adding logos as the projects have been started, is, you know, growing kind of unwieldy. And I was finding that the term framework for things like grid wasn't quite right. And so the most important thing was to update that graphic in such a way that it would be would make a little bit more sense. And you know, eventually, if we had 200 projects, obviously a big NASCAR style kind of logo or a screen won't work. But I did want to look at kind of updating the taxonomy, just one hair. It was not to try to say this is the only kind of map that could be drawn, or that there aren't better ways, such as the CNCF trail map, or the way that some other projects might represent them. Or at some point, maybe we do just get so big that like Apache or others, it's just a big list. But for the time being, I find it very useful, the existing greenhouse graphic, when giving a talk about Hyperledger, just to say, here's the kinds of things going on, here are the kinds of communities we have. You've heard of Fabric, perhaps, or you perhaps have heard of Sawtooth or Indie. Here's really everything else going on. And then to dive deep into each one of them, you know, as time allows. What we were hoping was just kind of a, you know, that the TSC would see this as a gradual improvement, and that, you know, absolutely the taxonomy was a first stab, and could be changed the most. And it's always always tough to try to get projects to be comfortable with kind of how they're positioned. And so very much wanted to work with the TSC on is the positioning and the taxonomy right, but not to forestall conversations about other ways to look at the structure of our community.
How well engaged would you say that the marketing committee has been with working on that?
So the actual graphic redesign was something that we had our in-house at the Linux Foundation graphic designer do. The taxonomy was something that, frankly, I took an initial stab at and said, let's go with this, take it to the TSC and see what they think. Then we did consult with Dan O'Pray and Alyssa Worley about it as well, just to see if they had that input. Dan, by the way, is the guy who came up with the word Hyperledger. started a company called Hyperledger that was acquired by Digital Asset. And then that name was part of DA's contribution at the beginning of the Hyperledger project. Partly, you know, I mean, he's been a great participant. He might even be here on the call. I'm not sure. Dan, if you're here. Let me see. So it wasn't something that we like broadcast out to the full marketing committee and got a lot of consensus around. It's not, no, I don't want to oversell kind of, you know, this is the firm belief of the MC, you know, that we need to do this. But it was at least in consultation with them.
Okay, great. Yeah, I feel like the people that have selected for that marketing committee probably have a better handle on marketing language than I do, as somebody who focuses more on engineering options. So I'm all for getting their input in the way that's efficient.
So I shared some of my thoughts here, but you know, we and I know Brian, you replied privately, but basically at the end of the day, we're starting, and I think somebody else piled on this morning and sort of made a similar point, and that is, you know, we start getting so many things to talk about, and there's no time to really get into them, and so we're not really doing ourselves any favors by, you know, going through the laundry list of all the things that are going on. And it's a good, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on, but, you know, You don't hear Sam Ruby running around talking about all 340 or whatever it is projects at Apache. You don't hear Mike Milinkovich talking about all 400 projects at Eclipse, right? I mean, at some point, you have to talk a little bit more in generalities about the cool stuff that's going on, the collaboration, you know, the enthusiasm, the number of people, and less about trying to sell each project on its merits or something like that. I think, you know, maybe that time has come, you know, when we have to be less about trying to sell the projects and sell instead the fact of the organization, the collaboration, the innovation and so forth that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, if we were at 300 projects, that certainly we wouldn't do something like this, right? If we did have a taxonomy, then it would be we'd start with that, or start with a few of the leading projects or something. But you've heard me talk. I do talk about all those other things too, and I tend to, if anything, spend less time on the projects than on the value of the whole than people might expect. But we are also different from Apache, and I think certainly than it, and possibly than Eclipse, where we're really about a portfolio of these projects. Like what the projects are is meaningful, right? The fact that there is are ways they build upon each other, and then at other times compete with each other, is meaningful. And that's that meaning is what I get across when I present. And again, I don't dwell on this slide. You know, it's a few minutes, and then I go into other topics or more specifics. Mm-hmm. Just to get a lay of the land, just to like to get that initial top-down view. I mean, I could keep using the old graphic in my talks, but and other people I think who use this graphic in their talks find value in that kind of top-down view, just to give a sense of what's there. You know?
I think one of the ways you could look at this is if you look at the drawing, or you've got frameworks, you could change that to active, and then to change that middle layer to incubation and leave the rest as it is. Because I think that's kind of actually what it looks like right now, is you've got the frameworks there that are active, and then everything else. And I think that would make it fit all into one, because really the top two sections are just projects, right? And if you want it, you could just have one section that was projects and list all the projects, and then the rest of the greenhouse. But I mean, those are a couple of different options where now you're not worried about, oh, this one falls into this bucket, and this one falls into that bucket. It really is just, here's all the projects that we have, and here's all the other pieces of the community that exists that you can get involved in.
Yeah, I had made a point on the thread that I think we're getting too big. I mean, I use the existing greenhouse one. Chris and I did that in a presentation we were doing, and it's actually fairly hard to talk to try and give everything equal time. It takes up a lot. And I think we're at a point where we can just list the main architectural levels, if you will, and make sure we can include all the other special or different activities going on, like working groups and SIGs and things like that. Hyperledger is much more than just the projects. And so to give just the projects the main thing in your main slide is really doing a disservice to the marketing committee and the special interest groups and the working groups and all the other activities going on.
Well, that's why we added those to the greenhouse.
Right, but it just makes the slide busier, which if it's too busy, you know. So you don't list each project out. You just say, here's like frameworks.
We have a few blockchain projects, a few SDKs. So,
hang on, there's Silas has been politely raising his hand.
Yeah, no, just I'm slightly late seeing this, but I've sent an email saying the same to the list. But just to flag, yeah, I think Burrow is in the wrong place. It has a component usage by some other projects in terms of the EVM. But that is about 10% of what it is. Burrow is a fully fledged BSD ledger with contract, compile, deploy, event system, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah,
the same.
I mean, it's like the same.
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw that. Don't mind being in two boxes, but yeah, we should be in framework. But
yeah, that's an easy change to make. Putting it down there, I just figured since the consensus layer in standalone builds on Tendermint, right? But no disrespect intended. We can put
it yeah, no, I think, I mean, yeah, we consider Tendermint as a library. We use it in a slightly non-standard way, I guess. I see why it's in that box, but I think that would be misleading generally.
Okay, that's an easy kind of change to make. Well, it's hard to figure out what to do with feedback because, I mean, I'm giving presentations where I'm using a greenhouse, and I've appreciated being able to show a map of some sort.
and I do feel like describing kind of differences in groups of functionality is still useful, even though a different way to slice it is what's active, what's still in incubation. That's certainly a way to, you know, a different kind of chart that can be shown and useful. But just when people ask, well, what is Hyperledger? What's going on there? What are you guys doing? You know, what kind of tech are you working on? You know, as a starting place, purely as a starting place, you know, it's hard not to, I mean, just talking verbally. Well, we've got some frameworks, we've got some modules and libraries we're building, we've got some tools. I mean, that's how I would verbally start talking about things anyways, right? And again, yeah, at 200, you know, we need a different way to do it. But it's the feedback from you all that we should stop using the greenhouse graphic in our presentations? Because it feels like something that we get value from. Or should we just do something informally? I mean, I'd like the TSC to be behind what we do or give us feedback on things, but, you know, it's kind of a marketing graphic at the end of the day. Something that's hard to design by committee, right?
Right. I'm not opposed to having some kind of graphic. This is another evolution of it. I do think that you'll probably get better feedback from marketing people than the technical committee. I mean, we should definitely have a voice in making sure that things are technically correct. So like Silas clarifying the role of Burrow. But I don't see how you go and talk about Hyperledger without having some sort of graphic.
Vipin?
Okay. And on the taxonomy front, in the thread of conversation, Sean did propose a slightly different layout. And I forgot I needed to pull it up to read out what it was. Apologies for that. But you know, we could start with that and come back with an updated graphic that shows that taxonomy layout, or maybe just get conversions on the TSC on the list about what the right taxonomy is, and then we can create a new graphic from that.
The taxonomy that you're also sort of asking for. Game, which I feel is also a great job for people with marketing skills.
Well, that's a double-edged sword.
What was that?
That's a double-edged sword asking the marketing people.
I see Vipin's had his hand up for a while.
Yeah, guys. My comment is that this is not just a slide that Brian presents. It is also on the landing page of hyperledger.org, and is the first slide that people see, first graphic that people see. And I believe it should be a live sort of image, in the sense that you should be able to provide different views as drill downs or other kinds of ways in which you can explore that greenhouse, instead of being a static image.
Well, right, but so if you go to CNCF, for instance, it's just a there's just a row of little glyphs, and you hover over them, and then there's a little hover over text that, you know, gives you the blurb, right?
We don't have to follow their.
But that's basically what you're describing. Static.
That is
graphic.
Not what I'm describing.
Really tell you a whole lot, right?
That
it doesn't.
Is not what I'm describing. I'm describing something that goes along with what Mark says, which is how the categories, and then you can drill down into those categories, and then get help in exploring this, not as a bunch of a list of glyphs that is too confusing to the eye. It's a little more than, you know, it is a little more than just a list. It has to be tiered.
Okay. I think we're probably into the level of this discussion that's going to be less productive. So.
Yeah. Well, here's my suggestion. One is, I'll repost, Sean's proposed taxonomy. I had a few things I wanted to move from it. But if we could focus kind of the conversation on the list on kind of convergence on that taxonomy, that might be the most productive thing. And then secondly, yes, Vipin's right. We do use this on the homepage. We are making some changes to the, and this is the www.hyperledger.org homepage, obviously. We're going to make some changes to how that's, you know, kind of works anyways, and what your lead off from that is. And so we're very open to talking about, are there better starting points on the website for to help people understand kind of the shape of and the constituency of our community. Maybe something like the CNCF approach with the trailhead and the listing and things is better. But we'll take that input and then come back to you. But again, focus the TSC on the taxonomy might be the best approach for us in the short term. Does that make sense?
Thanks. And your use of the word convergence along there also reminded me that that's a good thing to keep in mind when you think about the future state of Hyperledger and what that graphic can do for future proofing itself.
Yes. Yeah. Not to overload it to be an architectural diagram, but maybe at some point it starts to remind us, hey, maybe these two projects should be looking for ways to work together on a common API or a common use of a library or something like that.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Brian. All right, next on the docket, we have the smart contracts working group update. And I think most people have had a chance to review that. Do we have any questions at this time for Sophia?
Well, I'm here to answer any questions, if there are any.
And Sophia, well, people might be bringing their questions to mind. Is there any point or two or three that you would like to highlight on the working group progress or issues?
Yes, sure. Yes, and there is a question from my side because Chris commented in this page. If you can please scroll down, we can see Chris's comment. Okay. Well, Chris said that we are working on a wiki page where we are trying to separate the two concepts of smart contracts and contracts. And the Architecture Workgroups Volume 2 report was missing as a link. I surely added it, although I didn't have the time to review this work, which was started by Mark, who is a member of our working group. We are working on this product. It's not finished for sure. We're adding content and links, and from my side, I'm trying to make it as more as a research paper as it can be. I'm a researcher, so this is my point of view. Others are from the business side, so they add their point of view. And we're working on this product, so we added this link and we surely want to cooperate with other groups. I've also posted the blockchain 3 smart contracts in government 3 applications and informed the government working group if they would like to announce it to their meetings, and maybe people would like to add some use cases to this or review the whole paper. It's completed work, and also I would like to ask for the formal way how to put it for a review from the TSC in order to be formal, as Chris pointed. And also, this is a process I would like to follow for the taxonomy we crafted, and now it is a full mind map and the table which is deriving from this mind map. So my first question is, which is the official way to issue a review request? And the second one is that we are trying to point out that we have pages that are working products. So we are adding a characteristic on the page title. And whatever we think it is finished, we wanted to let the TSC know and follow any formal way to make it formal and official. So my question is, how can we say that we want to request a review for the blockchain 3 smart contracts? We are having also a working group meeting next week on Wednesday, where I would be more I would be able to hear more people. What do they think, and how can we continue from what we have added?
On the point on process, I guess probably isn't written down anywhere. But you know, we've been operating under the assumption, I think, that you know, as working groups get to the point where they're basically finishing a document and they want to publish it, is that they bring it to the TSC for review. I don't know. Do we need to, you know, Dan and Brian, should we update the working group charters to make that a little bit clearer, or the working group process? But that's really what I was pointing out, is it looked to me like the working group had already established, well, we're done with this and we're moving on to the next thing. And in the past, with all the other working groups, their process had been to get the working group to say, okay, we think this is done, and then they submit it to the TSC for review.
Yeah, I felt like that was at least in the charter of maybe the architecture working group, but it might not be broadly templated. For those of you who are engaged on the working group committee that we talked about last time, could you please take note of that action item and make sure that that's in the working group process?
Yeah, I'll get it in the, add it to the notes right now.
Thank you. And then Sophia, specifically to, sorry, go ahead, Mick.
All I was going to say is just a reminder that that one is on hold pending the lifecycle review stuff, because there's a lot of overlap in the people who had opinions, and I want to get the lifecycle stuff done before we start tackling the working group stuff. So I will keep adding to the issues and the discussions to make sure we're covering it, but for the moment it's going to be quiescent.
Okay. Sophia, specifically to your question then, usually what we've done in those reviews that have come to the TSC is the paper should get circulated on the TSC mailing list, and then you would expect probably something on the order of a month-long period where people go in and review it in depth, depending on how long or novel it is, and provide feedback, and there might be multiple rounds of that.
Okay, that sounds nice. So I will issue them, I will send them the email with this paper, this article we have written. And as I've told you already, we are going to work on it as a working group already. So everybody is welcome to add and comment for sure. And let's see how this goes. And I will do the same thing with the taxonomy that we think it is a finished product. And we started from this taxonomy. We created a list of work products because we want people to be able to work in parallel. Not everybody is interested in the same subject. Some people are interested in the security of smart contracts, some other in the interoperability, some others in the architecture. So we crafted many working products for the people who expressed their interest, in order to be able to add their content, and after that to combine all of them and create a new working product from them, deriving from separate works from different people. This is what we mainly do here, and I would be more than eager to hear what you think of the working group. We are trying to follow the rules to add the agenda, the notes by the templates, and hear them, the people, what they want, what they need, and try to make research in order to find out what are the hot topics and what we should work on. And also I try to participate, I can speak for myself, but I have seen others from the working group do this, and we like to do this to participate in other working groups in order to see what they do and how can we have some cooperation on our working products, or how can we contribute to their working products. So that's mainly what we are doing from February since now until now. And I'm open for your questions or any of your guidance. Please do.
So did you say that you were adding a list of new working group work products?
Yes, from the taxonomy, that we think that it is a complete product. We have a mind map. If it is easy for you to open the working group in order to describe it, because it's a little bit hard to describe by words, we took the taxonomy and created a list for each of a separate page for this list, in order for people to be able to work on each, let's say, bullet of this mind map, each bubble of this mind map as a separate working product, in order to create separate working products which will make a full working product. Because some of these refer to, let's say, functional requirements, some other refer to computational requirements, some other refer to the low area. So these are not combined in a full product. They are separate products which in the end will be a complete working product, which will derive from the separate working product of each of these concepts, bubbles in the mind.
Okay, so I understand that to mean that you are just dividing the work up amongst the team for the existing, something that fits under the existing charter of the working group, if you want.
Yes, making smaller packages, yes.
Okay, if at some point you want to expand or alter the charter of the working group, then that's a good thing to provide to the TSC so that we can have some discussion on that if necessary.
We're surely until now on track. As for the charter, the purpose of the group hasn't changed. We are evolving, so we are creating more creative ways for people to participate. Because as I've told you, if there is a complete product to work on, such as we did with the blockchain free smart contracts in government, maybe not everybody is interested in this. So there are many things that we can look from different angles. Some are researchers, some are technical people, some are businessmen, some are, we have a lawyer who adds content for the law contracts. So we have different perspectives for the same things, but the charter is until now followed. And I don't think that right now it would be the right thing to change it. We have a specific charter and scope. If in the future something must change, yes, I will surely do discuss with the other people and see how can we update it and for sure inform you.
Okay, wonderful. All right, well, thank you for continuing to volunteer time on the working group and the rest of your working group contributors as well. Moving along, I think we have Bobby on the line to talk about the learning materials and documentation working group. Thank you, Bobby. Do we have any questions for Bobby? And just like we did while people are thinking of those questions, Bobby, is there anything that you want to highlight, particularly any issues or areas of feedback that you're looking for from the TSC?
Basically, we spent the last quarter just building out the framework to house documentation and learning materials. We're hoping for guidance, like Sophia said, from the TSC and the marketing department to kind of know what needs to be put in the frameworks. So again, the wiki has a lot of structure to it, but now we need some framework building. So we're looking for guidance there. Membership is low as well. So as soon as we get more members, we'll be able to be more effective. Well, just to highlight one topic. We do have on the wiki page a resource page where people can go and look at open projects. So we're hoping new members, we've made it easy to onboard with our new member page. We're hoping that new members can get a Linux login quickly, get able to edit the pages and know exactly what work needs to be done. For instance, we believe this summer we're going to be editing, helping Flavia help edit some chapters that she's been working on. We need to help Burrow with some learning documentation. So we do have the framework ready for that. We're just, you know, again, waiting for more members and some guidance on how to get that done.
It happens, I was just talking to a Sawtooth contributor yesterday about content that they developed for the edX course back in the fall of 2018. Do you know if the edX course was updated in that time frame?
All I know right now is that Flavia is working on the first three chapters broken out into the basic beginner business course. And then I know that Salona was mentioning that the remaining technical chapters were all going to be contributed by the different projects themselves. And I think she was working on a framework to get contributors to put in. So all I know is that, like, we're trying to work forward on a system to get the edits in so people with technical background can look at them and make sure they're accurate.
Dan, was your question regarding the Sawtooth chapter in the Introduction to Hyperledger Technologies course?
It was specifically the simple supply chain content that we have in a GitHub repo, like education, Sawtooth, simple supply, or something like that. There's PDF content in there as well as demo code.
As far as I know, that one is not available. That one never made it. We did make the changes to the Sawtooth chapter, but we didn't do that as of when I left.
Okay. So, Bobby, what is your handle on Rocket Chat?
I believe it's Bobby.
Okay, easy enough.
JN at the end, BOBBIJN.
Okay.
If you do go to the resource page and go to the, on our homepage, the resource page, frameworks and tools, and go down to Sawtooth, we are trying to collect all the documentation we can find. So I can show you what we have collected so far. And if the Sawtooth people want to go in and edit that.
I'm on the resource page now and I don't see a Sawtooth.
Go down to, it's under frameworks and tools.
Oh, I see.
And then Sawtooth.
Many layers.
Yes, there's a lot of things going on. So that would be where the information we can collect from the working group winds up. And each, again, project has a page.
Okay, great. I will send this over to that contributor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Dan, can I speak?
Please.
And I guess it's more directed at Mick, but the one thing I've seen in both of these reports today is trying to get members is an issue or a challenge. So again, it gets back to working group.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, getting back to your point, I talked to Brian a little bit yesterday about exactly this problem, that the working groups need to have, I think I will express my opinion. My opinion is that right now the working groups have to have a stronger sort of reason to be. There has to be a value and influence that can come out of them. And until that happens, it's going to be very difficult to get people to make commitments to something that's simply descriptive of what's already going on. So the situations where we've had the best input are those where we've been constructive. So.
Yeah, I tend to agree very strongly with that sentiment, Mick. And I don't remember, I'm trying to remember if there was an email, and I don't remember who it was that said it, but I kind of resonated with that sort of same thought. And this pertains to specifically to this particular working group, in that essentially it's competing with the projects that are managing and doing their own documentation. And I see that, you know, we're trying to get the edX teams to source material from the project teams, but the project teams have stuff to do and things to get done. And I think they look at this as sort of like, well, you know, okay, but I'm kind of busy. And maybe the thing ought to be a little bit more about how do we ensure that we have a consistent approach to delivering documentation from the various projects, especially the DLTs or frameworks or whatever, you know, the things, whatever we end up calling them, such that, you know, they're you know, the documentation is easily consumable and we're able to sort of grow our usage and our membership and so forth. And I mean, I think right now, if I'm looking at this one, I see it sort of working sort of at cross purposes to the various projects. And I don't know what others think about that, but that's sort of how I feel about this. And I'm not saying it's not good work. That, don't get me wrong. I just think that, you know, we need to be working a little bit more collaboratively as opposed to in silos that are not really talking to one another.
So this does point out exactly the problem, which is that the working groups right now tend to be sitting outside the projects rather than being integrated in the projects. And because of that, there's no way that they can be prescriptive. I mean, there's no way we can give teeth to the working group until it's the project participants who are the ones who are in the working groups.
I think that's right.
And this is the conundrum that we've been discussing, is how do you give the working groups, I hate to use the word, but I will, authority, in a way that the projects will accept that authority because they are participants in it. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to dig into too far into this because we've got other things related to lifecycle and a bunch of others that are not independent of this problem. And I think we've agreed that we're going to sequence the concerns by looking at the lifecycle first.
Go ahead, Arno.
I think we should be a bit more agile in how we handle working groups in general. I think people will participate if they see value into it. Unfortunately, there's no way to force people. This is open source. It's all voluntary. People participate where they see value in doing so. And so personally, I think we should be much more willing to say, you know what, there's just not enough people interested in doing this right now. Either we close it. I mean, this is a fairly low cost in creating working groups and shutting them down. And I think we should be, you know, and I'm not saying this for this particular working group, although I have raised the concern that this in some way competes with the project's documentation efforts. And so I don't want to say I told you so, but there's a little bit of this, you know, involved in this. But, you know, in general, I think as a rule, we should be much more, you know, agile in creating working groups and, you know, stopping them if we don't see anything to do right now. There's not enough momentum, interest, and then recreate them when the interest comes back, if it does.
Well, and then, you know, attendant to the, and Arno, it was you. I just couldn't recall. You know, attendant to that would be, okay, so, but then when we do create a working group, what are we doing to ensure that the project teams are actively going to participate? In other words, we should build that, Mick, into the whole life cycle aspect of things, that we sort of get the projects to sort of say, yeah, that's a great idea. We should talk about how to do smart contracts, or yeah, that's a great idea. We should get a working group that's looking at, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And just to be clear with a very concrete example of this, you know, if for example, you want to claim that your platform provides privacy, that you now have to go to the architecture working group in order to get something that their approval for claiming that your project provides privacy. That gives some teeth to the working group, but it also means that the project participants become much more motivated to be a part of that working group in order to get the definition as clear as possible so that they know what to do. I mean, that there are some of these ideas that might help us get the teeth into it where we can encourage participation precisely because it is the thing that's driving integration across the project. And again, I'm just throwing ideas out there. There's nothing fixed. But I think those are the kind of things that I'd like to be able to talk about at some point in this when we get back to the working group parts of it.
But would it make sense over time to look at centralizing things like documentation so there's a working group that does documentation across all the projects so it's consistent when people go to read it, things like that? It would also help some of the smaller projects because it would give resources that they might not otherwise get and would hold the project back.
Brian's had his hand up for a while.
And I think, Mark, you touched on the fundamental tension here, which is to what degree does a working group like this create materials and in doing that, create them that are Hyperledger wide, that are somewhat standardized, that help the smaller projects? Or to what degree are they really about just trying to set common standards across the different projects so that, because there is like this great documentation call and working group within Fabric that's run by Anthony O'Dowd. I want to give credit to that process. That seems to work really well. And so Fabric docs are in a pretty good shape. The goal overall of these working groups, right, is to be the glue between our projects, right, across the different projects to help harmonize or set, to have in a way that projects help each other too, you know, like in architecture, oh, you're working on that, we're doing this, maybe we should combine efforts or learn from your mistakes or that sort of thing. And so I went back and looked at the charter for the learning materials working group. And it isn't quite clear on you know, because it does seem to suggest a lot of content creation. And that's obviously a challenge if you don't have people from the projects involved, right? Not impossible, but from those involved. And so maybe we just want to evolve in this for the learning materials development working group, kind of specifically where on that spectrum it aims to lie. The more that it's about creating content or managing things like the MOOC, the more it needs participants from the projects themselves to be involved. And needs to find a way to not say this is additive and charity and it'd be nice if, but to say, hey, actually, this is pretty important to the projects and the projects to realize that that's important to them.
Hi, it's Bobby. Again, we were just discussing how we can collect the materials that are out there and make sure they look and feel the way that the message we want to portray. So again, the participation is needed from the people who are actually developing the materials, especially as they get more technical.
Yes, and thank you for suffering through some of the broader discussion there about working group health, Bobby. I think that the course of this discussion has also run through here. So thanks for providing the update. And then a little bit of discussion on the chat there. If we could get an update on the lifecycle committee next week, that would be great. Since we do have several things that are starting to stack up aligned with that work or the output of that. I think that will be helpful for all of us. And let's see here. I think that brings us to the end of our agenda today. Thank you everybody for your time. And we will talk to everybody again next week.
Thank you. And thank you, Sophia and Bobby.
Thank you all.